Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
It's a Wednesday morning, and that means we have the chance to visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. We do this 52 weeks out of the year. Brian Walton on thecardinalnation.com has Cardinals content every single day of the year, particularly at looking at the Cardinals minor league system. Always fun to visit with Brian. Now, this visit is really fun because he was in town with the Cardinals winter warm-up. You're going to hear us go rapid fire through the organization, whether it be from the ownership to John Mozeliak, Mike Gersh, to the players that will be on the Cardinals major league roster, or even those in the minor leagues that have a chance to break camp with the Cardinals in this upcoming spring. So we're going to do that and go rapid fire, and really interesting comments by Brian, things that he took away that maybe you haven't heard or read that took place this weekend at the Cardinals winter warm-up. As always, this is presented by Triad Bank, a full-service financial institution established in 2005, and their mission to provide a wide range of commercial and personal banking services. Jim Triad is in the lobby when you walk in at Triad Bank in Clayton, Missouri. We do our business at Scoops with Danny Mac with Triad Bank. I hope you will as well. Brought to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds. See their selection. LordosDiamonds.com with Valentine's Day right around the corner. When we come back, a visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Hair Salon for Men. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a men, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. Hair Salon for Men. One of the great things about the winter warm-up is the chance to see a lot of our friends come together and be in person. And that's what we get here with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com, who joins us every Wednesday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, TheCardinalNation.com. Covering everything with St. Louis Cardinals baseball, minor leagues, major leagues, player interviews, evaluations. And at this time of year, it's a great place to go because so many people and so many fans are curious about the stars of tomorrow. Always good to see you, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me on again.
Hey, it's my pleasure. It's been awesome to have you. We thought this would be kind of fun, but we would do like just quick hitters and evaluations from what you took away with the winter warm-up. I'll start with just this in general. Winter warm-up in general, what did you think?
Well, obviously it's a big time for fans to come to St. Louis, and a big part of the weekend is to interact directly with players, get their autographs, get photos done. And so from that, very, very successful. Since the players are also there, then that gives them an opportunity to talk with the media, which we took advantage of to ask them questions over the weekend. And, of course, the baseball writers' dinner on Sunday night is a big event as well.
So let me just start running through some names and what comes to mind. Let's start with the owner, the chairman, Mr. DeWitt, Bill DeWitt Jr. What did you think?
Well, Bill made it very clear that the organization is not actively seeking trades at this time, which was deflating to some fans who were hoping to see something happen with Nolan Arenado. But he made it clear that the combination of incremental money to the payroll and the amount of prospects that he would have to give up is not something that he's comfortable with. And he noted that giving up prospects is not something the organization is against doing. They did it the last 2 years with Ozuna and Goldschmidt. But to go further and to do what he believed was a win now type of move and potentially sacrifice a future was not something he's comfortable with.
How do you think that's going to play out with Nolan Arenado after the comments that were made a couple of nights ago that he's frustrated, disrespected, I believe was the word that he used with the management team? How do you think that plays out?
Well, certainly it's a toxic situation in Colorado, and it's of their own making. I'm talking about ownership and general manager. The guy just signed a contract 11 months ago and promised a competitive team. They lost 91 games, and now their star, you know, wants out of town. The problem is, at least to this point, what all the national reporters have been saying, as well as the reporters out of Denver, is that the asking price has just been prohibitive, not just for the Cardinals, but for any other club, like the Braves, for example, who also need a third baseman. And unless their price comes down to a much more reasonable level, there's just not a good fit with the Cardinals. Arenado makes $35 million a year. So to save $35 million off the Cardinals' current payroll, that would mean shedding both Matt Carpenter and Dexter Fowler, for example, without covering any of their salary. And that's just a scenario. I mean, we're talking about, 3 weeks away from spring training? I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Let's go right down the line. John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations.
Yeah, John Mozeliak was very frank about the fact that he hadn't had trade discussions in the last 7 to 10 days. And some folks thought, you know, he's lying. And I've been with Mo enough over the years. I've not seen him ever out and out lie about things. He'll not answer. But in this case, he said, hey, you know, we got nothing hot. He talked about the fact the 26th man could be a catcher, which is an interesting scenario with the re-signing of Matt Wieters and may open a opportunity for Andrew Kisner to be on the major league roster. I also asked him about the closer situation and whether he might bring in another Bud Norris type of veteran. And he said, listen, we're pretty comfortable with the arms we have. So at this point in time, it looks like closer is going to be something that'll be resolved in camp.
Mike Schilt.
He talked about the fact that they have 13 pitchers coming to camp as starters. And I asked him, you know, how are you going to get all those guys work? How are you going to be able to evaluate them? And he said they're going to really focus on backfield simulated games to try to evaluate all these pitchers in camp. He also talked about Dylan Carlson. And, you know, he's very bullish on Dylan Carlson, but he sees him more as a left field, right fielder at this point. He said, you know, we haven't seen enough of him in center to feel that he could compete for that job at this point.
The veteran that's back again, I think this is year 16, it's Adam Wainwright.
Yeah, he's certainly, he and Yadier Molina are the faces of the franchise. And Wainwright talked about the fact that the second half of 2019 was important for him because it was the first time that he felt he could pitch without having to worry about his health. And his goal this year is to be better than last year, which is a great goal even at his age. He talked last year about his sort of player that he thought was going to emerge was Dakota Hudson. This year, interestingly, his pick to click is Miles Michaelis. He says a guy that throws 95 with four offerings, you know, he's figuring out his issues, and he thinks Michaelis is going to have a year much more like 2018.
Well, let's go to that. Miles Michaelis, what are your thoughts on seeing him at the warm-up?
Well, you know, he talked about K.K. Kim, the, you know, the new Korean, and the challenge in coming to a country where you don't, no one else speaks the same language as you, and how he's going to try to help with that transition. He also mentioned that the KBO, where Kim came from, is known as a hitter's league, and that makes Kim's accomplishments much more impressive in his mind, and he thinks Kim's going to be a great addition to the Cardinals no matter what role he plays.
Interesting to hear the comments of Yadier Molina and wanting to play beyond the contract, and if he does so, it'll be only, in his words, with St. Louis.
Yes, and that's obviously a great thing to hear for a career Cardinal and a guy who's, you know, invested so much in the franchise. The other thing that I asked him during that time was, is there a deadline? Because there's been a lot of talk about this, you know, the agent talking with Mo in the spring, and Molina said no deadline. So if they don't get anything done in the spring, that would give the Cardinals more flexibility in terms of how they might structure his deal, because there's a rule in Major League Baseball that contracts can only drop 20% per year. So if they made a deal early, they would have to pay Molina at least $20 million in 2021, which is a big salary for a guy who's going to be a 38-year-old catcher.
That's interesting and something that a lot of fans don't think of. Matt Carpenter was very open and honest about his struggles of 2019.
Yeah, it's very rare you see a player apologize. And he apologized to his coaches. He apologized to the front office. And through us, the media, he apologized to the fans. And he's really making the changes that he needs to make. He talked about the fact that in the past, what he was trying to do was trade off some of his strength training to try to stay healthy, to protect his back, for example. But this year, he's gone back to a more traditional routine because he wants to be stronger. The other thing he talked about was the fact that he purposely, this offseason, tried to not pull the ball. So he got pull happy, and he realized that that was affecting his game. So what we hope to see in 2020 is a Matt Carpenter hitting the ball to all fields.
How about Colton Wong, who won the Gold Glove last year, and what did you take away from the winter warm-up this year?
From Colton Wong, I saw a new level of maturity. He talked about the fact that, and he's really better understanding his role as a player. He talked about the fact that he and Harrison Bader have a friendly challenge to steal 30 bases each.
Right.
But it's not the first one to get there. It's whoever gets there is going to challenge and pull the other one along with them. And that contrasts to 5 years ago. I remember when Colton Wong was a young player, and his challenge at that time was to hit more home runs than Randall Grichuk. And, you know, that just wasn't who Colton Wong was, but it's taken him time to finally now get the confidence that he attributes to Mike Schilt to become this more well-rounded player. And, you know, he noted the fact that when he and Dexter Fowler were put at the top of the lineup, that was sort of when things started to click for the Cardinals offense.
Harrison Bader, big camp coming up for him. What did you take away?
Harrison Bader, of any of the players that I talked to and listened to over the weekend, I think impressed me the most with his preparation for the new year. He went down to Florida, trained with Tommy Pham and another player, can't recall who right now. And basically, you know, every day has worked on getting better. He even went to have mental skills training. And, you know, he realizes that that this is his time, and he believes the center fielder's job is his. And if confidence is any indication, Harrison Bader is going to come to camp with a chip on his shoulder to prove he deserves that job.
How about the camp and what you took away from Tyler O'Neill upcoming?
Tyler O'Neill, you know, he said his goal is to stay on the field. He realizes his biggest inhibitor has been his body. And he also was very candid about, hey, I need to stop swinging at the ball in the dirt, which is what every fan who watches the games realizes his weakness. So he knows what he needs to do. Now it's a matter of whether he's able to execute.
Michael Gersh, the GM of the Cardinals.
Michael Gersh talked, of course, about a number of things, but the thing I thought was most interesting, being a minor league guy, he talked about the major league schedule being so early now that the minor league camp, the step camp that they use for selected minor league is the way that they feed extra players into the 1 p.m. games. But that camp would be so late, it wouldn't help them. They've got split squad games, I think, as early as the first week. So they've instead got rid of step camp this year and are going to bring more players into big league camp in the area, 68 to 69 or maybe even 70 players.
70 players.
So you know, there's going to be a lot of players in big league camp, probably more pitchers to help them get through some of those early games, but that also is going to give them more time to evaluate those 13 starters.
Hey, Blues fans, join the party all season long at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill and one of their 11 area locations. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. It is your home for Blues hockey. Remember, if the Blues score 5 any game this season, you get Hotshots legendary tacos for $1 each the next day. Find a Hotshots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Blues. I hope you know about the Schnucks Rewards app. If for some reason you don't, where have you been? The whole city has been downloading this. If you're a Schnucks Rewards member, you're going to earn points. And the next time you're at Schnucks, you can use those points for money off. Digital coupons on the items you want most. Download the Schnucks Rewards app. Get the app that gets you. There's 3 minor leaguers that maybe grab the attention of fans most importantly, and I'll start with Nolan Gorman. What did you take away from Nolan?
Nolan Gorman is a pro. I mean, you wouldn't recognize that he's a, you know, guy, you know, not yet playing in Double A. I mean, he, you know, dealt with the media just like a professional. He talked about the fact that David Wright is a guy that he emulates, which you think, hey, you know, that's, other than the injury part, you know, he was a future Hall of Famer and a guy who, you know, had an impeccable reputation on and off the field. He also disclosed that this is going to be his first big league camp, and he's pretty excited about that, both for himself and his friend Matthew Liberatore.
Matthew Liberatore is my next question, the big lefty that they picked up from Tampa Bay.
Tall. He just looks like a dominating guy on the mound, and that's the approach that he's going to take. And what Matthew Liberatore said, you know, beyond all the overwhelming excitement and the anticipation that the Cardinals fans gave him, that he's going to be shadowing Wainwright and Jack Flaherty in spring training, trying to learn everything he can.
One of the guys I'm so excited about, and I was on the caravan with him, my gut tells me, Brian, he can make the team out of spring, and that's left fielder, center fielder, right fielder, Dylan Carlson.
Yeah, Dylan Carlson, the first question I asked him was about his decision to not go to the Arizona Fall League, but instead focus on strength training. He's gained 10 pounds. He's gained additional strength over the winter. He's worked his program very hard. And, you know, he's a no-nonsense guy, not a lot of frills. He just wants to come and play baseball, and that's completely what's on his mind. I think the Cardinals have purposely tried to keep pressure off Dylan Carlson, not only because of his relative youth. He's only played 18 games in AAA, but also they have a lot of other outfielders that they need to evaluate this spring. Thomas, O'Neill, and Justin Williams, who we forget about. So, you know, they've got to give those guys at bats because they're, you know, higher on the priority list right now. So if Gorman has to go down for a while, it won't be the end of the world. But if he comes up and hits the ball like crazy in spring training, you know, we saw Albert Pujols make the team once. Certainly Nolan Gorman could do it too. I'm sorry, Dylan Carlson could do it too.
Tommy Edman,
you know, he's a pro in every aspect of the game. And what caught me about what Tommy Edman said was, hey, I have focused this winter on shortstop. I know they didn't use me at shortstop last year. Because I was used at second base and third base most, that's where I tended to get more comfortable. And he said, I need to be ready to help the team at shortstop when they need to give Paul DeJong a breather, and he intends to play that role.
And speaking of Paul DeJong, what did you take away from Paul?
Paul DeJong talked a lot about his struggles last year. And the common thinking of people like me, maybe people like you too, was that he was physically tired, that he was worn out. Paul said that wasn't the case at all. He said he was mentally worn out. He got in a situation where if he was 0 for 10, he didn't want that to turn into an 0 for 20, and he let that worry about his at-bats affect his play at the plate. Not in the field. Of course, we saw him play almost Gold Glover, you know, quality defense, really Gold Glover quality defense. So, you know, his intent is he wants to be ready mentally for the grind of the year, and he thinks he can be a guy in the middle of the order, 3, 4, 5 hitter. Mike Schilt wouldn't talk about his lineup, even though I asked him, but – DeJong says, hey, he's ready to step in that void if asked.
It's a big camp for Austin Gomber. Really big camp for him.
Yeah, Austin Gomber, you know, he had this weird injury last year. Was it his shoulder? Was it his bicep? He said that he went for MRIs. They couldn't find anything. And it what thought they thought was going to be a few weeks turned into 3 months. And so by the time he was ready to come back, it was the end of July. He needed a quick get ready, but he was starting over, just like the very beginning of spring training, because he wasn't allowed to pick up a baseball. So basically, he ran out of runway. None of the Cardinals minor league teams were in the playoffs, and he just couldn't get ready. And Austin Gomber, being a stand-up guy he is, he said, listen, I just wasn't ready. If they would have brought me in September to pitch in a pennant race for St. Louis, I just wasn't ready. So Gomber's coming, you know, with he's one of those 13 starters, and he has a lot to prove. The question in the back of my mind is, they didn't find what the problem is. Will it come back?
Expectations for Jordan Hicks.
Jordan Hicks has been working out. He was in St. Louis all winter until about the new year. Then he went to Jupiter. I saw him last week. He's throwing the ball. He's up to 60 feet now. But he's also has a good mindset about it. He's not trying to rush. He understands the schedule he has to be on. There was some worry. The Cardinals sort of elongated his plan, thinking that his complications from his diabetes might affect his recovery. That hasn't proven to be the case at all. Hicks says he's gained 10 pounds as well. Good pounds, looks more muscular, looks stronger. And so the plan is still that he'll be back around mid-year.
I'm excited about Alex Reyes. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about it.
You know, Alex Reyes, he was given a different program after multiple years of rehabbing in Jupiter. He got to go home to the Dominican and prepare his way. He's already thrown his first bullpen, so he's on track. John Mozeliak said that, again, he's one of the 13. But realistically, given the limited number of innings that Reyes has thrown over the last few years, his ability to handle a full starter's workload, 150, 180 innings, is probably unlikely. So more than likely, Reyes is going to compete for a bullpen spot.
And finally, Carlos Martinez.
Carlos Martinez, probably the biggest question of all in camp. Will his shoulder hold up? If so, he thinks so. He says his shoulder's 100%. He's ready to compete for his starting role. Interestingly, I asked him, I said, hey, Carlos, well, if you're not going to start, who do you think, I mean, if you're not going to close, who do you think, you know, would be the guys who could step up? And John Gant was the first name to come to his mind.
Really?
Now, obviously, that's not binding, but I wanted his opinion. He's the guy sitting down in the pen watching these guys throw.
So, the Cardinal Nation never stops. What are you working on right now?
Well, we've got a number of leftovers from winter warm-up. We've posted, I've wrote synopsis of every player and every manager and every coach to speak, and also have the audio up for the people who want to listen to the long form. So there's 3 days worth of, I don't know, it's probably 35 or 40 interviews. And then there'll also be some follow-ups with an in-depth session with Gary LaRock, farm director, and then Randy Flores, who I know you also have an interview with, a one-on-one that you did. Randy Flores also met with the fans and gave through his presentation and answered some questions as well. So those things are all going on at the Cardinal Nation and much more.
It's a fun time, isn't it?
Isn't it, really? I mean, those thinking that baseball hasn't begun is not true.
No.
Baseball is already underway.
When you start looking at, and for fans that are curious about this, the evaluations of the minor leaguers, I know a lot of people go to you at thecardinalnation.com to get that. When do you really start diving? I mean, I know you already are, but I mean, when do you really get in depth with some of those kids?
Well, certainly when we're able to see them again, and part of what I did last week in instructional camp was watch a number of the players work out. Now, the pitchers weren't throwing at maximum velocity. They weren't throwing all their offerings, so I didn't even bother to get the radar gun out. But once spring training games start, and that's mid-March, you know, I'll have the gun out and we'll be watching, you know, what these guys are doing. You know, there's a few guys changing positions. Evan Mendoza looks like he's moved from third base to short. So there'll be some more of that that we'll see in spring training as well. But the Cardinal Nation Prospect Guide is just a few days from being released. We're accepting early orders. And in that, we go in depth on about 60 prospects in the system, including where we evaluate them scouting-wise, where we think that their ultimate potential will be, and what work it's going to take for them to get there.
It's all aboard the newest restaurant in St. Louis, the Train Shed at Union Station. Perfect place before and after Blues and Cardinal games. Historic St. Louis Union Station is downtown's newest dining destination, with Train Shed's creative pub and the Soda Fountain's modern diner. The Train Shed at Union Station. In terms of who stood out at instructional camp, anybody catch your eye?
Well, certainly Nolan Gorman, Delvin Perez. Delvin Perez has gained some weight, and he was really, I could just see him in the workouts playing a leadership role, encouraging his teammates. And, you know, that was something that hadn't seen before. Now, you know, big question for Delvin Perez, is he going to hit? Don't know yet. But that was certainly a guy. I got to see Zach Thompson for the first time, the lefty the Cardinals took in the first rounder. He looks like a good-sized player as well, and we shouldn't lose sight of him and all the Liberatore excitement, because, you know, Cardinals are going to have two good young lefties coming up.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much. I love your work. You know that. TheCardinalNation.com, the place to go.
We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.